Coming up, a candidate forum for Manitou Springs, including candidates and issues discussion on making democracy work.
This is Studio 809 Podcasts, informing, connecting, and empowering the residents of the Pikes Peak region.
Welcome to Making Democracy Work. I'm your host, Shelley Roars, spokesperson for the League of Women Voters of the Pikes Peak region. Thank you for listening to Making Democracy Work and taking the time to learn more about being an active and engaged citizen. A big portion of our mission is voter education, and election forums are an integral part. We are in the middle of the fall 2025 election cycle, and we are sharing recorded versions of each candidate forum here on our podcast, Making Democracy Work. We hope you enjoy. Thank you for listening. Let's get to it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Manitou Springs Forum, presented by the Manitou Springs Chamber of Commerce, Pikes Peak Bulletin, the Cliff House, and the League of Women Voters. I am Holly Murphy with the League of Women Voters and a resident of lovely Manitou Springs. The League of Women Voters is a nationwide nonprofit and is nonpartisan, meaning we never endorse, support, or oppose candidates or political parties. Our mission is empowering voters and defending democracy. The League's job is to educate voters and increase voter turnout in every election, which is why we are here tonight. For the first part of our forum, we will be hearing briefly from candidates running for school board, followed by community members discussing the bond referendum. Then the candidate running for mayor will speak for a few minutes, since this is a non-contested election, followed by the city council candidates and ending with a review of the city excise tax issue on the ballot. It is a lot, so let's get started. Kicking things off are the candidates running for Manitou Springs School Board, who are Kimberly De La Harp and Kelly Parker, who is not here, so I will read on her behalf. Since there are two open seats for the school board, this is considered a non-contested election. So we will have candidates opening statements, and then that will be that. We will start with Kimberly.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for everyone being here. This is so important to be informed voters. My name is Kimberly De La Harp, and I'm running for the school board. I'm a mother to Atlas, who's an eight-year-old in Ms. Hunsdale's third grade class at Manitou Springs Elementary School. I've lived in Manitou for 13 years, and I'm a professor of physics up at the United States Air Force Academy, where I've taught for 14 years. So I'm passionate about both education and our community, so I'm running for the Manitou Springs School District Board to bring that passion and my experience with education to serve our schools. I've been an active volunteer in the elementary school, always looking for ways to excite students about science, whether it's bringing hands-on demonstrations to the classroom or doing the science magic show at the Manitou Carnival, which is this Friday. So even if you don't have kids, if you want to be wowed by science, come on out and come to the magic show. As a college professor, I work every day with graduates from the K through 12 system. And I think that perspective gives me insight into the skills and support our students need to thrive once they've graduated from high school. If elected, I will work collaboratively to address some of the key challenges I think our district faces, from aging infrastructure to declining enrollment to mental health of students and rapid changes that are brought on by generative AI. Most importantly, though, I will be a strong advocate for our students, for our teachers, for our support staff and administrators, ensuring that they all have what they need to succeed, but also to thrive, to innovate, and to feel supported and that they belong here. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. And Kelly Parker sent the following statement for me to read in her absence. First, please accept my sincere apologies for not being there in person, and thank you for showing up to learn more about the candidates running for office in our community. As a resident for nearly 20 years, I am passionate about Manitou. And as a parent of two Manitou Springs middle schoolers, I am passionate about our kids. I believe every kid deserves an education where they feel safe, valued, and celebrated, not just tolerated. To me, one of the most incredible things about District 14 schools is that every kid can find their own way to thrive here. I have seen firsthand the impact that great teachers in our district have had on kids and families, and I look forward to supporting those teachers, administrators, kids, and families as a member of the Board of Education. In addition to being a board candidate, I am also the Senior Director of Development and Marketing at Cheyenne Mountain Zoo, where I've been for 17 years. When I'm not working, I've loved volunteering in our district. My time as a classroom volunteer and member of the District Accountability Committee have emphasized to me the uniqueness of our Manitou schools. I'm excited to play a role in continuing a tradition of not only academic rigor, but engage students and families in our community and helping every student find their place to thrive as a Mustang. Can we please get a round of applause for your Manitou Spring School Board candidates?
Thank you.
All right, thank you, candidates. And we will now hear about the school bond referendum. Please welcome Connie Brockton-Bach and Jack Sharon. I will now read the bond referendum issue, so bear with me, it is long. Manitou Springs District Number 14, ballot issue 4C. Shall Manitou Springs School District Number 14 debt be increased $37.6 million with a repayment cost of not to exceed $73.53 million, and shall district taxes be increased not more than $2.95 million annually to pay such debt for capital improvements needs of the district, including but not limited to the following: protecting students and staff safety by adding security upgrades to school buildings, including security cameras, entry security upgrades, and other safety and security improvements; addressing district-wide facilities needs, including replacing and repairing deteriorating roofs and mechanical, electrical, and HVAC systems; renovating, upgrading, and improving district school buildings and facilities to provide increased ADA compliance, particularly in restrooms, classrooms, and other generally accessible areas; and for acquiring, constructing, or improving any capital assets that the district is authorized by law to own; and shall the mill levy be imposed in any year without limitation as to rate, but only in an amount sufficient to pay the principal of premium, if any, and interest on such debt or any refunding debt, or to create a reserve for such payment, such debt to be evidenced by the issuance of general obligation bonds to be sold in one series or more for a price above or below the principal amount of such series on terms and conditions and with such maturities as permitted by law, including provisions for redemption of the bonds prior to maturity with or without payment of the premium of not to exceed 1%. That was one sentence. For this part, each side will have 2 minutes for opening statements. Our intro order will begin with Connie.
I am Connie Brockton-Bach, and I serve on the District 14 Board of Education. I have lived in Manitou since 1990. My daughters grew up and attended school here. My grandkids are in preschool, and I can't wait to watch them grow up as Mustangs, too. I love this community and our school district, which is why I'm here tonight to ask you to vote yes on 4C. We are asking you to approve a $37.6 million bond as our collective investment in the future of our community and our kids. This is not a small amount of money, and it will impact your property taxes. Even though the thought of property taxes increasing sucks, not having a school district in our community will negatively impact home values and significantly impact our ability to attract new businesses, which frankly sucks even more. Truly, what we are asking to do with that $37 million is not excessive. We are not building a sky bridge or tearing down existing structures. We are focused on very practical and necessary upgrades to our facilities, including upgrades to safety and security, increased accessibility and inclusion for all, and improvements to infrastructure, fixing roofs, plumbing, heating, and cooling systems being our top priorities. The average age of our facilities is 60 years, with much of what I just mentioned being original parts. We are at an inflection point. Like with our homes, we can't keep pushing these repairs off. This work needs to be done now if we want to continue to keep our local students here and continue to be a school of choice for students outside our district. A couple of quick things regarding choice students. They don't come here for free. Their state education dollars come with them to Manitou. Yes, their parents aren't paying property tax here, but they do continue to pay in their home district, so it's a bit of a wash. Most importantly, without them, we do not have enough school-age children in our community to keep our district operating at the level it does today. Without choice students, we are a much smaller school district. Definitely fewer programs and certainly significantly smaller staff and teachers. Thank you. Vote yes on 4C.
Thank you. Jack?
Hi, my name is Jack Sharon. I've had five children go through the district. And I'm not actually against a vote. I'm not advocating a vote no on 4C. I'm just trying to have people be informed. So I'm not against the bond. There's stuff that has to be done. My concern is how it gets paid for. And I wonder why a bond never starts off with, can we please raise your property taxes? The taxpayers of D14 have shown remarkable generosity by passing three property tax increases, mill levy overrides, with 2018 removing any limit. According to earlier administrations, this was done so the district would not have to ask taxpayers for additional sacrifice unless enrollment went up and new building was needed. The ballot language has included, quote, maintain and upgrade district buildings, equipment, and grounds. Why has maintenance and upgrade been deferred? MS-14 taxpayers currently pay the second highest mill levy in the county and will be the highest if this bond passes. The enrollment has declined from 2018 from 1,495 down to around 1,100. That's a 26% decrease and an estimated 10% in the last 2 years. The CDE has stated that it costs $18,900 to educate a student in the district, which is 37% higher than Cheyenne Mountain and 53% higher than D20. The cost estimates on the website, which actually were just added today after I sent an email to the superintendent and the CFO, were provided by industry experts who initially supported two bonds, totaling $138 million. No bids will be obtained until the bond passes. The 30% contingency was also advised by those industry experts. Again, today, that information made it to the website, although the ballots were mailed out 10 days ago. Not everything on the list is essential for safety, security, access, and infrastructure. Hard to think that a scoreboard would be any of those things. Air conditioning is a luxury. I don't have it in my house. The assessor's office has confirmed that all property taxes will increase in 2026, regardless of whether the bond passes or not, due to a Senate bill reductions, which were passed and will expire. So I just vote for taxpayers. I want to be invested and educated.
Thank you both. Now we will go through a few audience questions. Starting with you, Connie, what happens if this doesn't pass? You have 1 minute to answer.
Well, from my perspective, if the bond doesn't pass, obviously we're not going to be able to make the investments that we need to make in infrastructure. And as I stated in my opening remarks, a lot of the parts in the building that need work, infrastructure work, are original parts. So we all know heaters, plumbing, all those things wear out, even in our own homes. The comment about why have we not maintained the facilities over the years, we have. The school has annually budgeted $500,000 a year to cover upgrades to facilities and maintenance to facilities. But just to give you an idea, one of the things that we're asking for in the bond is fire panel upgrades in all of the facilities, each of the four buildings. Just the fire panel alone for the high school costs $428,000. So if you have $500,000 budgeted, $428,000 panel is going to eat that up. So,
all right, Jack, what happens if this doesn't pass? Same question.
So I agree with many members on the school board from a few months ago that said the district needs a win. And I've talked to the superintendent, who actually is a friend, and so I should have disclosed that earlier. And I was on the board when he was hired. I think the goal was to get a smart bond and to get a bond that would help the district get its financial budget in order. For the last 3 years, the district has done well, and they've spent on on capital things, $3 million, $2 million, and just over $1 million, which is helping with the BEST grant doing things like that. That's the kind of work that can continue. In my opinion, a bond that was something maybe to last a few years to let the district get their budget in order and to kind of cut things with commensurate with the 26% decrease in students would probably be what a business or a family would do.
Thank you. All right, for this one, we will start with you, Jack. How do you feel about the potential economic and property value impacts of passing ballot issue 4C as described by the district?
So, and I've talked about this and sent this information also to the Board of Education. The three quotes that they have in there are all national quotes, which we like to think that Manatee was special and different. So I don't think that a national survey that says your property values will go up by X amount for every dollar you spend, that probably doesn't apply to may not apply to Manatee, I don't know. I asked if that had ever been vetted. To my knowledge, it hasn't been. And with 50% of the students being choice, which are very valuable because every student is valuable, but the premise of moving into a district to have your child go to school in that district, it doesn't really apply to our district where half the students are choice.
Can you repeat the question?
Absolutely. How do you feel about the potential economic and property value impacts of passing ballot issue 4C as described by the district?
Well, I mean, I live here and I've lived here for a long time, and I know that these are difficult and challenging economic times for everybody. There's a lot of uncertainty in terms of the future, and asking people to make this type of investment is definitely an ask. I mean, on a $500,000 home, based on calculations for this bond, that's going to add $35.20 a month to people's expenses. So we take that seriously. We know it's a big deal, but we also know that if we don't make the needed repairs and upgrades to our facilities, not only will we start having significant issues with keeping them open, we become less attractive to choice students, and it becomes a pretty quick spiral down after that.
All right, thank you both. That is the end of audience questions, unless I see any cards in the air right now. Okay, so we'll move on to closing statements. You'll each have 1 minute for a closing statement, and we will start with you, Jack.
Wow, that's all the questions we got. Okay. Would anybody remodel their kitchen without having a solid estimate? I'm grateful that the district decided to post the line-by-line items in the last 24 hours after I sent an email to the superintendent and the CFO asking for that. The question is, that data is from September, and the Board of Education, August 7th, voted on the $37.6 million bond. What data did they have before this was available? Again, it's on the website now. What data did they use to come up with $37.6 million? The numbers that I got from an email September 4th are much different than the numbers that are on the website today, some by over $1 million difference. And then the question is priority. Everything's listed as priority. In the hospital, if everything's stat, then nothing is stat. The same thing with priority. Everything can't be a priority or else nothing is a priority. And then lastly, from the budget standpoint, when the budget was passed in June of this year, you can watch the video, whatever you can watch online, I was able to get it, but there were no questions from the Board of Education on the budget. And I think that's a concern, and that's a concern for taxpayers who fund the budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Connie?
So my closing comments are really from the heart. I'm a small town girl. I grew up in Eastern Colorado. I'm a fourth generation Coloradan. Stratton's my hometown. Hometowns, small towns mean something. The community we have, the fact that I can look out in this room and see so many familiar faces, so many friends, people who have stood by me in good times and bad, it means a lot to me. I love this place, and I'm committed and invested to this place. I want my kids and my grandkids, your kids, your grandkids, to have a good experience, to enjoy their public education, and to feel, you know, wrapped around In the love of this community, in the support of this community, and in the nurturing, high-value education that they receive at Manitou Springs. And I'm really saying that from the heart, and that's why I'm up here tonight talking about this bond, and I feel passionate about it, and I hope that everybody will vote yes on 4C. So thank you for your time.
Thank you both. Can we please get a round of applause for both panelists? Next, we will welcome Natalie Johnson, running unopposed for mayor, to say a few words.
My name is Natalie Johnson, and I'm running for mayor of Manitou Springs. Tonight, I'm going to read a poem. I believe that this poem says more than I ever could about how I feel about this community and a little bit about me. Acceptance speech after setting the world record in Goosebumps by Andrea Gibson. I wasn't by any means a natural. I was tough in the husk, went years untouched by rain. Then one day, in a red velvet theater in New Orleans, I watched Maya Angelou walk on stage. 17 slow steps to the mic, she took a breath before speaking. And I could hear God being born in that breath. My every pore reached out like a hand, pointing to the first unsinkable lotus in the bayou of the universe. I'd never felt anything like it. Searched the encyclopedia for the feeling's name when I got home, goosebumps. Afterward, I thought, I can do this. I started training, morning to night. Allen Iverson on the television in his first season with the Sixers, crossover, sharp as a V of sparrows, flying through the paint like Michelangelo's brush, 333 goosebumps. My baby sister, sober for the first time in 13 years, calling to tell me she just noticed our mother's eyes are green, 505 goosebumps. One day, my friend scored tickets to a Prince concert, tiny venue. I was right behind the sound booth. Prince's entire band that evening, women. At the end of the show, the sound person turned around and whispered, he didn't play one song on his set list the whole night. I live on stages. I know what it is to scratch a plan, but not the whole trip, and still arrive to your destination 200 years before your time. 421, artist formerly known as Goosebumps. But that's just the fancy stuff. Some of them came from simple facts. It rains diamonds on Jupiter, 189 goosebumps. Blood donors in Sweden receive a thank you message when their blood is used, 301 Nordic goosebumps. At one point, everything started doing it. A sincere apology, 221 goosebumps. An enemy's love poem, 222 goosebumps. The octopus documentary, 54 goosebumps multiplied by 8. The biggest dog in the shelter hiding behind a teacup chihuahua, and the woman who came to adopt a cat taking all three home with her, 1,012 goosebumps. There is no escaping the magic now. Beauty caught me and never let me go. And the thing about the world record is, if someone breaks it after me, and they will break it after me, I will love that so much that without even trying, I'll break it again. Thank you all. Thank you, Visit Manitou Springs, the League of Women Voters, Holly, for giving us two more minutes, the Cliff House, and all of the speakers, even those I disagree with, 2,000 goosebumps. In Manitou Springs, you give me goosebumps every day. One goosebump for each of you, 4,607 goosebumps. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Natalie. Two candidates are running unopposed, and we will allow them a brief introduction. So please welcome Nate Nassif, Manitou Springs Ward 1, and Carrie Storm, Manitou Springs Ward 2. We'll get started with Nate.
Definitely goosebumped after that brilliant. I hear Maya Angelou and Allen Iverson, and I get pretty psyched. Incredible privilege and honor to be a candidate for our city council. I've had many conversations with the community builders in this room over the last few months, part vetting, I would say, and a lot of encouragement and support to serve in this role that I'm very grateful for. My primary motivation, accent on primary motivation, is to preserve the values that me and my wonderful wife admire in our community. A sense of goodness and kindness, humility and capacity over pedigree, hard work when no one's looking, and a deep, profound sense for the stunning natural environment that we live in. I look forward each week to doing dishes with Mayor John after our Kiwanis meetings with the Key Clubbers. They're our future mayors. I work together with Allison on our housing advisory board to help preserve and ensure multi-generational neighborhoods in our community that are affordable. Every one of our neighborhoods needs a grandma's wisdom. I volunteer with our wonderful Pac-Man local mobility advocacy group. Less cars, more bikes equals good in my book. I love rolling my sleeves up at one of my favorite places and getting dirty over at the Flying Pig Farm. It's a very, very special place. It's a wonderful day yesterday. When I volunteer at my church's food pantry and I have conversations with the people that come there and learn their stories, I feel a deep sense of connection and hope. We truly have a very special community. Connie touched on this. I grew up in a family business, a hotel business and restaurant business, much like this in a stunning place called Chautauqua Institution. It's in the southwest part of New York State. And when you grow up in the hotel business, you learn about hard work, doing your own dishes, and going to smile school. In my corporate executive life, I've learned a couple of important things. Teams that have trust, a sense of purpose, and a very deep commitment to professional excellence can create great outcomes. I'm getting the stop sign here, so give me 1 second to finish. I appreciate your support for my candidacy, and may the great spirit of Manitou continue to bless our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Carrie, you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. A little nervous, forgive me. Good evening. My name is Carrie Storm, and I am a candidate running for the City Council seat for Ward 2. My husband George and I moved to Manitou Springs 9 years ago. When we arrived, we were drawn to how open the community was. We were drawn to how welcoming everyone was. This is a community where you know your neighbors and your neighbors' kids and your neighbors' dogs. We have community bears, we have community mountain lions, and there's lots of discussion about the movement of the turkeys. This is a community where involvement and volunteerism is a standard practice, where all community members can feel valued and feel safe. I decided to run for City Council this term because I believe our community is facing new and evolving challenges. We see it in the growing threat of wildfire, the constant need to protect our natural beauty, and the pressure to maintain our unique character in the face of changing political and fiscal environments. We need a strong council to bring people together, to respond to these outside forces, and to protect the values that make Manitou Springs so special. A little bit about me. Serving on the board of the Manitou Springs Heritage Center and Museum taught me the importance of preserving our unique character and history. Serving on the Planning Commission for the past 7 years has taught me a great deal about our land use and building codes and how we can make a smart choice that protects what we love. My work as our community representative with the Pikes Peak Area Council of Governments has prepared me to collaborate effectively with neighboring communities. I also serve on the board of our nonprofit carnival parade because events such as these are what drew me to the community in the first place, bringing fun and energy and playfulness to our community. My background is in emergency management and business continuity. It's something I feel is especially critical for our community today. I will help shine a bright light on our wildfire prevention efforts and support efforts to make our community more resilient and fire resistant. I have been asked what my priorities as a city council member will be. Well, first and foremost, I commit to putting in the time to educate myself on issues that come before the council. I commit to doing my homework and ensuring that I understand the perspective of both sides of any discussion. And I commit to maintaining a respectful and an open dialogue with others. I am running to serve the community I love, to use my experience to tackle our most important challenges, and to ensure the welcoming spirit of Manitou Springs endures. I am asking for your vote for City Council in Ward 2, and I look forward to working together with all of you to build a safer and more resilient future together. Thank you.
Thank you. Round of applause for Dayton Carey, please. Thank you. All right, now I would like to welcome up Laura and Gloria. All right, for this next part, we have questions for the two candidates running for Manitou Springs Ward 3. Also, there are maps around if anyone needs to look to see which ward you're in. Our intro order today will start with Laura Breen. You will have 2 minutes.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. I have deep roots in Manitou. My family moved here, well, they bought property here in the 1930s. I myself moved here with my husband in 2012. We were married on our back deck in 2020, and we're now raising our three young kids here in Manitou. I have served Manitou in a multitude of ways. I was on the volunteer fire department for over 10 years, a few of which I served as the department secretary handling communications. I've also managed the Manitou Springs pool and worked in a multitude of downtown jobs. Why I'm running? I'm running because my neighbors asked me to. They'd like to see more communication and transparency from our government, and it's a bridge that I think I can fill. My focus of my campaign is on communication, being responsive to questions, comments, and concerns, and being proactive with providing those responses. I'd also like to maintain accessible and open open spaces for generations to come. I'd like to see fiscal accountability and responsibility. I bring a vibrant, multi-generational, forward-looking perspective to the council, and I'm eager to collaborate with seasoned leaders to help shape our community's future. Thank you so much for being here. I look forward to your questions.
Thank you. Gloria Latimer, you have 2 minutes.
Well, I have lived in Manitou Springs for 16 years, serving on the Planning Commission for 2 terms, and I recently took part in the Citizens Academy. In the past few months, I've met with each of the current council members, most of the department supervisors, and many community organizations to learn more about how the city works. Why vote for me? Well, I've been around the block a few times. In my work at the El Paso County Health Department and the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, I managed public health contracts and grants ranging from $10,000 to $26 million. And directed the Community Health Education Program and the Chronic Disease Branch. I know what it's like to build programs. I also know what it's like to cut programs and to dismantle the things you have worked so hard to create. I have completed fiscal analyses for public health bills for the state legislature, not nearly as exciting as it sounds, and led state-level trainings on public policy, socioeconomic values, and diversity for local and state health departments in the United States under the auspices of the Centers for Disease Control. From my experience on the Planning Commission, I have a working understanding of our municipal code and our land use development code, and I'm pretty good at Robert's Rules. I've been a leader in several community-based organizations over the years, and my current commitments will end in December. I will devote as much time as needed to this important position. I'm ready to go to work for you. There's a saying in government that you can either be the sun shining light on a lot of issues, or you can be the laser and focus on one or two and actually eliminate them. As a member of City Council, I think we have to do both. We have to look at the issues that impact the entire city, and then we have to look at the issues that impact Ward 3 and really focus on those. On the survey that I have on my website, many of you have said traffic is the most important issue, a quality of life issue. I cannot stop moving traffic, but I promise you I will do my best to serve you. Thank you.
All right, thank you, candidates. We will now move on to some audience questions. It is critical for people to know the issues, have access to share concern with you, and squash rumors. How do you intend to communicate with residents in Ward 3? We will start with you, Gloria, and you'll have 1 minute.
One of the things I'd like to do is have regular monthly or quarterly meetings, not really town halls, but times for people to get together and talk about things. I might do those topic-focused so that we could come to an understanding on a particular issue so I would know more about what's concerning you. I would like to also just be more available to people. If you send me an email or you send me or text me, I will respond. I may not always have an answer, but I will have a response for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Laura?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Of course. It's critical for the people to know the issues, have access to share concern with you, and squash rumors. How do you intend to communicate with residents in Ward 3?
Thank you, Holly. Great question. I myself have received a multitude of emails over the course of my campaign. I've been very proactive about responding to them and providing a timeline for getting answers to the questions I've received and then following through with providing those answers. I'm also available on social media. I'm responsive to those questions as well. And I've been holding monthly meetings in order to be available for people to come and meet me and ask any questions that they may have. I am open to feedback, comments, and concerns, and I am proactive about providing those answers.
Thank you. The next question. Climate instability and the decline of stable weather norms are very concerning. How do our candidates envision a sustainable and resilient Manitou in the near and distant future? We will start with you, Laura, and you'll have 1 minute.
Thank you. I see sustainability as being an important avenue. I think that responsible water usage is a part of that, especially with our recent water turbidity issue. I would like to see us have a commonality of understanding with different avenues of accessibility for using our trails, how to maintain them and keep them available for generations to come.
Thank you. Gloria?
One more time.
Of course. Climate instability and the decline of stable weather norms are very concerning. How do our candidates envision a sustainable and resilient Manitou in the near and distant future? And you have 1 minute.
I have met with the Climate Action Work Group a few weeks ago, and I've also met with PAC-MAN. So there's several things that people have presented to me as ideas for preparing for climate changes. One of my biggest concerns is, of course, wildfire and wildfire mitigation. So I would propose that we look at the fire department's policies, our own home policies about how to mitigate fire. And I also think that there are just some issues that we need to do our best to prepare for, but that we also have to have contingency plans for them because we don't know how bad a wildfire would be. So to do as much as we possibly can in the preparation and the funding so that we can get ourselves into a better position if that were to occur.
Thank you. I'll just take a minute. If anyone has any other questions they want to write down, please do so now. Okay, the next question. There was a DE-14 employee who was recently hit by a motorist and thrown 10 feet while performing crossing guard duties and missed a child by 1 inch at the Manitou Elementary School. What will you do to create safe routes to school and safer and slower streets in Manitou? Gloria, we'll start with you, and you will have 2 minutes to answer this.
Well, I think, first of all, that's a collaboration between District 14 and the wards that are impacted by the school district. Certainly, it's a concern for City Council when any accident occurs on our streets. Because people in Ward 3 have told me they're most concerned about traffic and congestion and quality of life issues having to do with a number of cars that are here, particularly during tourist season. I have spoken with Chief Otto, and he has given me sort of the work assignments that he makes. When there are many people who have called in saying, my neighborhood, It must be 40, 50 miles an hour. Call the chief. He tracks those things. And we only have two police officers on duty most of the time. When they're not out on calls, he does assign them to the streets in which you think are most problematic. So that would be one thing. But I think also it's a good training opportunity for all of us to pay close attention to the speed limits and certainly to kids in crosswalks and so forth. I have noticed that when the, I think we call them the parking trailers that the police have available, when they can put those out, people do tend to slow down on our street when they see those. But I think it's a cultural issue for us to just slow down and look for pedestrians.
Thank you. Laura?
Thank you, Ollie. I agree. I think that having signage available for people to be aware of their surroundings, sometimes, you know, when you're on your way home, you don't think about where you're going. You're just on autopilot. So I think reminding people about what's going on and their immediate surroundings to keep them in the present moment so that they are aware and cognizant of what their actions might incur is important. I also think communicating with the police department what's going on is also valuable. That way they can track any accidents and maintain a record so we can attribute any attitudes that are concurring. And I think communicating with the general public, maybe sending out an email for parents, hey, reminder, this is what's going on and this is how we can support having safe streets, for our children, because that is important. Them getting to school and then getting home from school, it's of most value.
Thank you. The next audience question is, how would you respond to ICE coming into Manitou? Laura, we'll start with you and you'll have 1 minute.
I think that's an interesting question. Federally, there are rule of law that we're required to follow, but also being a humanitarian and being a compassionate person is important. So I think that I would respond within what is dictated by the federal law, because that's what we're required to do. But being a humanitarian and an effective communicator with people is important in order to make sure that they feel secure in our environment.
Thank you. Gloria?
Well, that's a big question. First of all, I hope that never happens in our town of Manitou Springs. If I hear of that happening, if I know of that happening, I'm calling 911 right away. I'm activating the people that I know who are concerned about this. I am also going to be there if I can to document it, to video it, to stand up for the people who are being, I'll call it harassed, because most of the time I don't know that the people that ICE is targeting are really people who have criminal backgrounds or have created a problem in their communities. I think they're, my personal opinion is that they're rounding up people first and deciding whether they're a problem later. And I don't like that.
Thank you. All right, the next question is, what experiences have you had in Manitou as a volunteer, but not an official on an official board, that has benefited all of Manitou? And we'll start with you, Gloria. You have 1 minute.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have been on Planning Commission, which is an official board. In addition to that, I try to be active in as many community activities as I can. I like to go to the concerts on the lawn. I like to support the Manitou Arts Center to the greatest degree possible. I also enjoy the kinds of activities that our Chamber of Commerce sponsors for us. Big events are not my favorite, but smaller events, I like the fruitcake toss. I like the festival, the Commonwealth Arts Festival, and things like that, and I support those activities.
Thank you. Laura?
Thank you for the question. I volunteered on the fire department for over 10 years. I've served as their secretary as well, handling communications. On the fire department, it's just been my pleasure to serve the community in that way in order to really learn what the needs are and meet them in a way that I can serve them well.
Thank you. All right, this next question. Federal directives have recently demanded an end to diversity and equity programs. What are your views on the role of diversity and equity in our community? Laura, we'll begin with you, and you'll have 1 minute.
I think diversity means a multitude of things. It not only means where you come from or who you are and your experiences, but also what you bring to the table. I think that Manitou is very well versed in bringing a diverse perspective to Manitou and also supporting multi-generational voices, different backgrounds, religious views, whatever it is you choose to do at home. I think we have a mutual respect for one another where we can come in a compassionate and loving way to support each other in our communities. I've seen that over my years in Manitou, and it's something I deeply value as a community member.
Gloria?
I have worked on diversity, equity, and inclusion policies since, I think, 1996 in the public health realm. I support them. I have found that it brings a richness to teams to understand the similarities and the differences and the values that we all share. And a lot of times in my experience, we've found that we have much more in common than we have in differing opinions. I support them, and I have found them to be a benefit in my work life and in my personal life. I have learned a lot from listening to diverse opinions.
Thank you. This is the last open-ended question. What guidelines will you use to evaluate decisions regarding policy changes in Manitou Springs? Gloria, we'll start with you, and you'll have 1 minute.
What guidelines? Okay. I think this question is directed towards something specific, and I don't know what it is. So I will say that, first of all, I'll be following the policies and procedures that are outlined in our municipal code, land use development code, and whatever guidance the city council gives me as a city councilor. I would say I'm a person who believes in hearing both sides of an opinion, both sides of a story, and I would also I think fairness and access to the same information is important.
Laura,
can you repeat the question, please?
Yep. What guidelines will you use to evaluate decisions regarding policy changes in Manitou Springs?
I think it's important to listen to the multitude of voices that would be impacted by the change in order to come with a cohesive solution that benefits everybody. I look for hearing diverse perspectives in order to come and bring them to the table. That way everyone feels heard and acknowledged in a way that we can support a multitude of people moving forward. But also, of course, you know, use the municipality codes and any rules of law that we have in place at the city.
All right, and our final question, a frequently asked question by the audience. Please answer with yes or no. What is your position on ballot measure 2A? Laura?
It's a yes or no answer. I would say no, unfortunately. And I would love to talk with any of you all afterwards about why my perspective is that. But thank you for the question.
Gloria?
I'm a yes on 2A, and it gets to be kind of a very simple explanation, but I would much rather see an increase in the cost for our visitors than I would a decrease in services for the people who live here every day.
Thank you. All right. Thanks for answering all of those. We will now have a minute each for closing statements. Gloria, you can go first.
Well, believe it or not, I actually have looked at an organizational chart for the city of Manitou, and guess who's at the top? We are. The residents are. I think that's an important consideration to remember. I plan to have those quarterly or monthly conversation, casual get-togethers for Ward 3 residents to know what you think is working well and what needs improvement. They may be topic-focused, but with no preset agenda. I am interested in small business economic development and would like to have some listening sessions to see if a small business economic forum is of interest to the community. I'm so impressed by the passion, dedication, and hard work of so many people As Margaret Mead is quoted as saying, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. Lastly, I could use your help. I've been walking the neighborhoods, but I have a couple to go. There are 1,300 registered voters in Ward 3, five of our biggest parks. So I would appreciate your vote, and I would also appreciate your help in talking to your neighbors. Thank you.
Laura?
Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to be here and for the challenging and diverse questions. I'm running for City Council to bring a fresh, energetic voice that listens and responds to every resident. With clear communication, transparent updates, and innovative ways to connect, like open forums and digital tools, I'll work alongside experienced leaders to deliver solutions that reflect our shared priorities and values. Thank you again for your time this evening. It was nice talking with you all.
All right, round of applause for Ward 3. All right, next I would like to welcome up Greg Wellens and Mayor John Graham to talk about 2A. All right, I'm gonna start by reading ballot issue number 2A. While I'm reading, if you have any questions, please hold them up so we can have a good question and answer at the end of this. Shall City of Manitou Springs taxes be increased by $2,500,000 annually in the first full fiscal year commencing January 1st, 2026, and by such amounts as are raised annually thereafter by adding an additional 9% to the city's current 5% excise tax rate on ticket sales and admissions fees? And shall the rate of such tax be allowed to be decreased or increased by the Manitou Springs City Council without further voter approval, so long that as the rate of the tax does not exceed 14%, and with the resulting tax revenue being allowed to be collected and spent by the city without regard to any expenditure, revenue raising, or other limitation contained in Article X, 20 of the Colorado Constitution or any other law. We will let each panelist have 2 minutes to discuss their side. We will start with the yes side.
Great, thank you. 2 minutes is not a whole lot of time to talk about a complicated topic, one that's going to reach into our future for a long time. I want to just quick make an announce that I do have a blog. It's called Manitou Springs Mayor's Thoughts.blog. It has a Q&A, and there's also some things there that if we don't cover them tonight, you may be able to go there and find some things out. It also shows there's a page called What the City's Gotten Done. And if you, when you ask the question, where'd the marijuana money go? Go to that page, that'll give you some ideas. Thank you. And now the Sermon on the Amounts. Legalization of marijuana sales in Colorado Springs is wreaking havoc with our finances. We have a $3.3 million downturn this year. That's three times what we collected in property taxes. And worse, next year we expect that shortfall to be $4.3 million. The thought of losing our monopoly on marijuana sales has haunted City Council for at least the last 5 years. In cooperation with city staff, we were able to build up an $8 million reserve as a safety net. We knew the day was coming, so we squirreled away our acorns. Unfortunately, we're now dipping into that reserve. City Council studied several scenarios to figure out what to do next. We could increase sales tax, we could increase property taxes, we could increase the excise tax. We could reduce costs, and certainly that'll be central to anything we do. A sales tax would make our shops and restaurants non-competitive. That's a non-starter. Anyway, out of the options comes 2A, increasing our existing excise tax from 5%, setting a ceiling of 14% on it. Council would be able to increase or decrease the rate not to exceed 14%. It's essentially a tax paid by visitors rather than by residents. If we had to raise property taxes, we would basically be needing an amount that's three times what we already pay. So you'd have the tax you pay three times more than we need. That's four times. That's a quadruple tax. City Council is urging the voters of Manitou Springs to vote yes on ballot 2A. Thank you.
Thank you. Greg?
Well, thank you very much. My name is Greg Wellens. I'm the owner of Adventures Out West Zip Lines at the west end of Manitou Springs. I'm here today to ask you to reconsider the excise tax increase. up to 14% that has been on the ballot this fall. We're flattered that Manitou would think that our five small businesses would be able to solve all of Manitou's financial problems, but it is very nerve-wracking to us and detrimental to think that that would be the only solution to the concerns. You know, it sounds like a gamble when I hear that you're already afraid because you lost everything from the Manitou tax, that you're just going to tax one other business here in town. Just doesn't make good policy. I'm here today because I feel strongly about this. It's egregious. It's a huge amount. It is almost a triple tax, 90% from 5% up to 14%. You know, it's unheard of. And so we're all just going, how can this be the answer to what's going on? A more balanced budget. There's going to have to be cuts that have to be made. Manitou won the golden goose of the Manitou tax for the last 10 years or however long it was. And, you know, that's over. And Manitou's got to make some other decisions based on that. There you go. So I'm asking you to vote no.
All right. We'll start on some questions. How and why were these businesses selected, and were they involved in the decision? You'll have 1 minute to answer, and we'll start with you, Mayor Graham.
Yes, okay, thank you. No, they weren't involved. I mean, that's certainly a fair criticism. But when we looked at it, it's kind of a no-brainer, and I'm sorry, but it's about the money. Is this the fairest approach? It's really the most pragmatic approach, I think. If we have to look to the residents to vote themselves a major tax increase by asking for a property tax, nothing's going to happen. We're going to be stuck. Passing the expense on to the visitors who come here and use the streets and use our infrastructure, use all the things that we have to provide for a city, that's a little fairer, I think. It's a solution that would get us down the road, that helps us adapt. And certainly, we think of ourselves as a town of a little less than 5,000 people. You know, if you were out this weekend, you saw that we're not a town of just 5,000 people. We have a lot of visitors here. We have to step up to the plate to provide service to everyone.
Thank you. Greg?
Why is a tax increase always the answer? You know, why isn't it a budget cut? Why isn't it looking at other things that can help reduce the budget for the town? You know, this town has an awesome budget. I think it's like $6,000 per resident is what is spent, you know, on the town budget. It's a lot more than a lot of other cities. I know it costs a lot to run these cities. The businesses that have been targeted in this, some say it was one business that's been targeted in this as political retribution. It's not just saying, hey, let's tax the tourists, but there's a lot of people that are being brought up in this, the tourists, you know, these businesses that are here working hard, providing. We pay taxes, we pay employment tax, we pay use tax, we pay tax all day long. This is just another one that's going to continue to push the customers away and leave a bad taste in the mouth of the visitors to Manitou.
All right, thank you. I'm not going to read the beginning of this question. It's pretty negative. But what impact will 2A have on the businesses? And we'll start with you, Greg. You'll have 1 minute.
Well, I don't know. I'm not a genius. When I have to look at it and I think about, you know, how much can someone afford to pay? It's a party of four, maybe a family of six coming on a $100 zip line. You know, that's $600. Add another 14% on top of that. So you're looking at another $100 bill on top. My concern is at some point they're going to say no. Maybe I'm going to have to, you know, eat the tax via reducing the cost of my activities. Manitou is still going to get 14% or whatever we charge on top. But I'm going to have to look at how much can I pay the staff? What can we afford to do to get this done?
Thank you. Mayor Graham?
Good question. So let's kind of differentiate. I think that, of course, the main concern is the impact that it'll have on those businesses, roughly six businesses that collect the tax. We live at the foot of Pikes Peak. There's really only one town, and that's us, that lives right at the foot of Pikes Peak. We're the access point, location, location, location. You've heard it from your realtor. I think we have some ability to raise the rate without a whole lot of pushback from people. The smaller business, if we went with sales tax or with property tax, I think you'd really see a detrimental effect on our businesses. In particular, the property tax rate is 4 times higher for commercial properties, so this would almost crucify our little shops, you know, the retail, the restaurants. I think the attractions businesses are in a position to absorb this and deal with it a little better.
Thank you. When was the last time the excise tax was increased, and what was the impact? And we'll start with you, Mayor Graham.
Yeah, the last time the excise tax was increased was in 1972. That was when it was established. It came in 72 by Dan Fisher, was the city manager then. It was his idea. And it was 5%. It's been 5% ever since. 5%, when you compare it to our sales tax of 9.3%, that's, you know, just a little over half. Compare it to what people pay on lodging, which is the sales tax plus 2%, they're paying a little over 11%. So the excise tax currently at 5% is half of what people pay to find a bed for the night.
Thank you. Greg?
Yeah. You know, it's been 5%, but the cost of a ticket has gone up with inflation over time and the activities and how much people want to play here. So it's like the revenue stayed the same. No, the amount of revenue collected goes up every single year that the prices go up on the activities. And so that should account for the increase. When people are paying more on these activities, and 5% is still higher than the portion of the sales tax that Manitou collects, 3.1%, I believe, is how much they collect, and on the lodging tax on how much they collect. So the 5% is still higher than all the other taxes that Manitou collects. You know, they're going to have less money to spend in downtown Manitou. In one of the presentations said that the tax was only going to equal that as a cup of coffee. $1.5 million divided by $7.50 is 200,000 fewer cups of coffee that are going to be purchased and bought in downtown Manitou Springs. You said that's going to affect them less, but I think they're going to be affected equally by this.
Thank you. Are you worried we're going to lose these businesses as a result of this tax? We'll start with you, Greg. You have 1 minute.
Well, I'm worried I'm going to lose my business every day. So, yes, this just adds to the stress running a business and what we can do. You know, some of these businesses cannot go anywhere else. Yes, my business could probably go somewhere else. So, you know, is it just another business gone? I don't know.
Mayor Graham?
Okay. Yes, thank you. Do we worry that the businesses will be damaged, hurt, fold up? I think we do. I think we're concerned about that. And honestly, these businesses have been, they're important to the community. It's part of why people come here, be able to ride the cog, go to the cliff dwellings. We get that. City Council got that. It's not like we're doing this to be mean. We don't have a whole heck of a lot of choices, okay? We raise the taxes on property. That hurts the residents and hurts the small businesses. We raise the tax on sales. The businesses, you know, are going to be at a competitive disadvantage. They'll go to Old Car City or someplace else, so they're close up. We don't have a lot of choices. We definitely will. As part of anything we do, we're going to make cutbacks. So all of you who have enjoyed Manitou, I hope you still enjoy it, but it's going to be a little more rustic, I think. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but there's going to be belt tightening. There's going to be hurt. I think, and I don't want to sound so negative, but you look at the national economy and that bothers us too. Thank you.
Thank you. How do you think this will impact the residents of Colorado and specifically the residents of Manitou Springs if they would like to go visit an attraction? Mayor Graham?
Well, they'll pay more just like anybody else. Yeah, I think a lot of us, you know, we have family or friends who come from out of state, and so you show them around. Maybe you take them up Pikes Peak on the Cog, or, you know, go to the Cliff Dwellings. You show them all the things that are great about Manitou Springs, about the Pikes Peak region. You're proud of that. I think you bite the bullet and you pay the extra tax. Who pays more than $3.50 at all? You know, $3.50 for a cup of coffee. We've all gotten to the point where the 50-cent cup of coffee is now $3.50, something like $7. I guess we're going to bite our teeth and, you know, bite our lips and grumble. But I think that's the reality of the situation. If we want government, if we want some services, we have to find a way to pay for it.
Thank you. Craig?
Rustic is what it'll be here in Manitou when you chase all the businesses away. There won't be any more traffic on the roads. We know that traffic on the roads is a burden to Manitou Springs, and that's an issue. Taxing Manitou, passing this 14% tax, is going to set a precedent across the state. This is a tourist tax today for all the people who come to your town. When you go somewhere else next summer, they're going to be charging 15% tax because Manitou did it here. So it's going to just keep coming, and it sets a terrible precedent. You know, it's egregious, and we need to vote this down so we can all discuss it in person and figure out where we need to be. Nobody's saying that we couldn't afford to pay a little bit more, but we need to discuss what that amount is.
Thank you. What are some potential benefits or drawbacks of using increased amusement tax revenue to address city budget needs? You will each have 1 minute, and we will start with you, Greg.
Well, Mayor Graham's going to have a better answer on this because he understands the budget better. I was listening to Tuesday night's work session, though. It sounds like there's quite a bit of confusion on what the budget is and how much we're coming up short and how much is in reserves and what is owed and not owed. So it comes across to me that this isn't well vetted. You know, it needs to be discussed. It needs to be hashed out. The budget, you know, was just a proposed budget the other night, but what's the real budget? You can't wait until the future determines how much money is coming in. You got to base it worst case scenario. That's how I live my life. That's how the rest of you live your life. And I think that would be a good way to go.
Thank you. Mayor Graham.
Good points. So last Tuesday night we did approve or accept our draft budget. We have to do that by October the 15th. The final budget will be done on December the 11th. The City Council can change the budget anytime it needs to. I mean, the purpose of the budget, of course, is to give us guidance, but if we need to adapt to modify according to changing conditions, we can do that. The thing is, we've in the last several years, we've had a nice amount of money, a good amount. We've been able to tackle some serious projects. We've been able to go after things like the library. We've got a new water tank. We've upgraded a lot of water lines. We've fixed the water treatment plant. These are all fundamental things that government provides. I think this is inarguable. We all want faucets that turn on and give us drinking water. We all want flushable toilets. You remember the week before the 4th of July, we had that sewer line collapse down in front of Savelli's. Crystal Park and Manitou Avenue. That was one of any number of, you know, unanticipated problems we've had this year. We need the money to keep things going. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. How are the businesses expected to survive the slow season with this increase? And I'm going to give 2 minutes for this question. We'll start with you, Mayor Graham.
How are they going to survive the slow season? Actually, I think any of us who lived here a long time, you would remember that the day after Labor Day, things at the arcade, the outdoor games would be taken inside. You know, the stores would start to, keep reduced hours. Some would close up. We have a long season now. If you think about it, I mean, Colorado Springs has grown so much. There's so many people who live within 3 hours of Manitou Springs. They can come here for the weekend and have a good time. I think the shoulders on our season have gotten a lot stronger. So I would say that that's not something I worry about so much. I think it's, maintaining services so that when people do come here, they feel welcome, that they feel safe and secure. But there's also really the quality of life from the residents. What do we need? And I mean, yeah, we could raise the property taxes. I suppose we'd have to ask the voters, but I don't think that's a realistic concern right now. We've got an aging population. I've had any number of people who tell me they're on fixed incomes and they can't afford to stay in Manitou if property taxes were to go up. We'll yield to Greg.
Thank you. Greg?
Well, we're not so worried about surviving the slow season as we are worried about surviving the whole thing. We're used to being slow in the wintertime like everybody is, so we budget for that and appropriately. You know, this is a percentage of the big pot and what it's going to have on the whole effect for the whole business.
All right, and the last question we have here, what research did council do on comparable admissions and amusement taxes in surrounding areas, and how does this compare? You'll each have 1 minute to answer, and we will start with you, Greg.
I don't know.
Well, I guess, can I rephrase for you then? How does this tax compare to comparable areas?
Well, as far as I can tell, it's the highest tax I've ever seen in the state of Colorado for, an excise or amusement or a retail tax. So I've traveled all over. I'm not keeping close track of it. So maybe Mayor Graham has some better ideas on that comparison.
Well, thank you. That's a good question. I think different municipalities use different terms. Some use excise tax, some admission tax, some have ticket tax, some have ticket fees. You go make a reservation at a Forest Service campground and you'll find yourself paying, a $6 reservation fee. Is that an amusement tax? Well, it's a fee and you pay it. I was kind of wondering about this. I went to see what Bronco tickets would cost, and $321 was the cheapest seat I could find, and I just balked. I knew there would be fees on top of that. And you go to the symphony, they have the reservation fee, the convenience fee, and all that. So there's different terms. I wouldn't doubt that at 14% we'd be pretty high. Again, city council would have the flexibility to adjust that rate. The ceiling would be 14%. It could be somewhere else without having to go to the – if this passes – City Council will not have to go to the voters and ask for approval each time. We'd have the ability to negotiate. We'd be able to respond dynamically. And I think that would enhance the city's negotiation position. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Now we will give you each 2 minutes to have any closing statements or anything you would like to wrap up with. And we'll start with you, Mayor Graham.
Thank you. There's several things that, in a sense, this has been the best time financially in Manitou's history, in a way. And I know that sounds crazy because here we're worrying about our, did we squirrel away enough acorns? But we built up an $8 million reserve in the last 5 years. Okay, now we've had to start tapping into that, and that's disturbing. Okay, that's the trend is we'll run out of money if we don't make replace that or severely cut services. At the same time, we aggressively tackled some capital projects. I'd mentioned that a little bit earlier. We've fixed roads, we've fixed pipes, we've got a new water tank, the library's been fixed. That's important. And every time we say we're not going to address capital improvements, we're burning up our assets. We're letting our pipes get older. Every time you turn on your faucet, or if you want the fire trucks to come and have hydrants that work, you need to reinvest in your infrastructure. You need to keep your property up. All of us who have cars or refrigerators know they don't last forever. You have to take care of your property. When you don't, you are mortgaging your future. You're using your tomorrow. You're taking your tomorrows and using them to pay for your yesterdays. I really think that's reckless. And I'm proud that we've been able to tackle some of these things. We've done really well. It has not been easy. It has not at all been easy. We've had a lot of long city council meetings. We've discussed things. We've talked about things. But we've been resolute. We've got some things done. We have a long list we'd like to tackle. And I'm about to turn into a pumpkin. So, I'll be out of office here in a few months. But really, if you care about your community, you need to think about providing these things. And it's not just us, it's the next generation. This is important. This is fundamentally important. I wish I had a better answer. I'd like to win the lottery. That would be the best thing. But the most pragmatic answer, I think, is vote yes on 2A. I think also it's important that we not only keep that reserve, we need to have funds so we can keep up reserve, a strong reserve. Thank you.
Thank you. Greg?
Manitou won the lottery, and now they want to spend all the money. Okay. Leave it in the bank and live off the interest that you got left. All those things are important. All the capital improvements are important to the future of Manitou and the presence of Manitou. This was not well vetted. It wasn't thought out well. We weren't engaged. We're hurt by that. The businesses are part of the town too, right? I don't live here. I pay taxes in this town. I own property in this town. We employ people in this town. We work hard to be part of this town. You've all ridden in the Christmas trolley in town. That's the things that we can do as being part of this town and helping out. We don't want to come up here and say we don't want to pay our fair share and that it's all going to, fall on our backs and fall apart. But we're asking you to visit with your neighbors this year. Think about this. Just because we vote no on this and we cancel this now doesn't mean that you can't still raise the tax or figure it out, but we want to have a conversation first. government has very little history of not going all the way to the top of the tax. They're trying to raise $2.5 million. Dropping it to 9% probably doesn't get the $2.5 million. You know, 2 days ago, I saw a couple hundred people out in the street protesting against the No Kings protest. And this sure feels like a slap in the face and something that might go right along with those lines when you just put the tax on us and we don't ask about it. Vote no on 2A. Thanks, Mayor Graham.
Thank you both. Round of applause. And I would like to point out, I didn't ask a lot of the questions because they were very specific or very pointed and probably not great for both candidates to answer. So I would ask if y'all could stick around for a few moments after this so those questions can be asked directly, not up here. Okay, so thank you both. Can we please get a round of applause for all of our candidates and panelists? Thank you all so much. This wraps up our 2025 Candidate Forum for Manitou Springs. Thank you to the Manitou Springs Chamber, Pikes Peak Bulletin, Cliff House, and Studio 809 Podcast for all that you do to make tonight a success. The candidates for your participation and being in the hot seat. And thank you to the Manitou Springs voters for joining us in this evening. A recording is available on YouTube and on our Making Democracy Work podcast. Ballots have been mailed. Be sure to return your ballot by 7 p.m. on Tuesday, November 4th. Tuesday, November 4th, 7 p.m. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.